Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys ready? All right, Miss Nanya and Mr. Henry are back there waiting for you guys. Kiddos, you know where you're going. Aren't you glad and thankful to our children? Aren't you glad for that? We'll let it slide this time. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, look, I know as you were coming in, you had an opportunity to receive one of these bulletins. If you didn't get one, feel free to grab one on the way out the door. It just kind of serves to point us all in the same direction, make sure we're all on the same page. As normal, on Wednesday night, we will have our discipleship class. We're starting lesson 4 in our upcoming Wednesday night's class at 6:30. Eat before you come or wait till after you leave. Either way, we're not going to be serving dinner. But at 6:30, we want to invite you to come and gather with us. I think the Lord has been meeting with us. If nobody else is enjoying it, I am. So if you guys want to at least come and watch me enjoy myself, feel free to do that. No, but I think God would speak to us some things in there. So we would encourage you to come on out for that. Like I say, we're starting lesson 4 in this upcoming week. There's some other things in that bulletin, just point you in the right direction. I just dismissed the kids, didn't I? Yeah. I was going to have some of those Corby kids come up and show us their T-shirts today. As we mentioned last week, I'll mention again this week, if you pre-ordered a T-shirt, they are available for you. Where's Miss Lisa? She's right there. Miss Lisa can take care of you at the Welcome Center when you're on your way out the door. She can make sure you get that T-shirt that you ordered. And even if you didn't order any, we ordered extras. So feel free to stop by there and see Lisa. She can hook you up. So yeah, that's really cool. I don't even think we got ours yet, did we, Kenny? No? Okay. So stop by and see Lisa on the way. All right, so there's that. And then, of course, coming up September 15th, it may seem like a long ways away, but here I am saying what happened to June and July. I know, it's crazy, isn't it? So coming up September 15th, we'll be having our annual church picnic. In years past, we've gone to different places. We've gone to campgrounds and parks and different things. And that's always fun, and we may do that again, but this year we just decided to keep it right here so that we could maybe be a representation here in our community. So we're going to be setting up a tent. Isn't that cool? A tent out here in that big open area, and we're going to have our service outside. We're going to have food, fun, games, all kinds of good stuff. So you want to be here for that September 15th, the annual church picnic. So I want to encourage you to put that on your calendar and invite someone. You know, people might be intimidated. Let's hear this. Some people might be intimidated to kind of walk through the doors of a church that they've never been in before. So if we can just get them on the ground, if we can just get them on the property, out there in the parking lot, and just love on them. Let them see we're people. You know, not be scared of. We're just people. And we like to eat good food, and we like to have good fun, and just in kind of that non-intimidating atmosphere, just invite some folks to come and worship with us on that day and enjoy the fun. We just want to be a blessing in the ministry to our community and to the city. Amen? All right, so I encourage you with that as well. All right, you guys ready? I'm ready. I'm going to go get my water here. Took a Benadryl last night because I was kind of having some allergy issues. First thing, I slept really, really good. Anybody else Benadryl put you out? Yeah, just one. I'm done. Just one. So I slept well. That's probably one of the reasons I feel good today. But it also continues to work. And so I'm even having, I'd like a week's notice just to swallow, you know. Yes. So forgive me if I keep having to go back to that water bottle. All right, you ready for the word today? All right. A little bit of introduction. Because some of you have been here for the past several weeks, some of you haven't, so let me make sure we're kind of bring everyone up to speed. We are in week number 5 of a series that we're doing. Our basic premise is this, is that God himself, none other than God, desires relationship with us. He doesn't need it. You see, he's sufficient completely by himself. But he desires relationship with us. And the problem with that is that there's nothing within us that has the desire or the willingness to follow up on that. And even if we had the desire, we don't have the ability. And even if we had the ability, there's no desire. And so God Himself, following up on His own intense desire for relationship with His people, He's determined that unless He takes the initiative, it's never going to happen. And so throughout the scriptures and throughout history, we can see one instance after another where God initiates relationship with man. Whether He's approaching Adam and Eve in the garden and saying, "Where are you?" Or whether He's lighting a bush on fire and speaking to Moses. Or whether He's sending prophets and judges to keep God's people on course. Or whether He's sending Jesus Himself. That is the ultimate initiation of relationship. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. So time after time in the scripture, we see where God Himself, out of His own desire and out of His own grace, initiates relationship. He's content, even to a church that has lost their way, He initiates, "I'm standing at your door and I'm knocking." Well, one of the things we determined in week number one was this fact. As strange as it may seem, one of the ways that God has initiated relationship with mankind is by giving what we commonly call the Ten Commandments. Well, that sounds strange because so many of us have been geared and we've been traditionally trained to think of the Ten Commandments as a list of things that we have to do and a list of things that we can't do. You must and you must not. And although that is in there, the real emphasis behind it is this. God's not a killjoy. God's not in the business of saying, "Let me just see how miserable I can make their lives. Let me tell them things they have to do that are no fun and things that they can't do that are fun. Let me do that so that I can rob them of all joy." That's not God at all. But here's the kicker. Here's what's really going on. God understands that He is holy. And that if we're going to form relationship with Him, if we're going to be in relationship with a holy God, it cannot be on our terms. It has to be on His terms. And so as not to set us up for failure, so as not to create the possibility of relationship and then leaving us without parameters for a relationship, He says, "Let me just step in and give you some principles, commandments, principles for living and enjoying relationship with Me and with one another." And so that's what we've been looking at over the past several weeks, is that God, through these commandments, has established principles that will deepen our relationship with Him and enhance our relationships one with another. And so in the first principle, we saw this idea of priority. You shall have no other God. The second principle we established was purity. Don't pollute yourself. Don't pollute your relationship with Me by bringing in other things and things that are, they may seem to be in the right image, they may seem to look okay, but they're not innocent. Don't corrupt yourself in that way, because I'm holy. And then last week, or then the following week, we saw the idea of, which was last week, we saw the idea of humility. We saw the idea of humility. Don't bear His name. Don't carry His name upon yourself in a vain, prideful way. Don't do that. I'd encourage you, go back and listen to those. They're on the website. Go back and listen to those and be reminded of the things that God might be saying to us. And then today, I want us to look at the principle of rest. The principle of rest. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And, you know, it's strange. It used to be back in the day whenever the minister would give the word, would give the passage of scripture we were using. This is before the days when we would project it up on the board, or before the days of cell phones or smart tablets, whenever we could pull them up on our Bible app. You used to hear all these pages rustling. And whenever the pastor heard the pages stop rustling, he knew everybody had found the scripture. Well, that's becoming increasingly difficult. So I'm just going to assume that you have found Exodus chapter 20. If not, it is there on the screen. This is our text for today, beginning with verse 8. But I want to go back and set a little bit of context, if you will. All right? So bear with me. We're going to pick up here in just a minute. Exodus chapter 20, I want to start reading with verse 1. And God spoke all of these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. There's relationship. Verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Priority. You shall not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image or anything in the heavens or above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me, but showing love and devotion to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. There's purity. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who takes his name in vain. There's humility. And then today, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. Sabbath is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, on which you must not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your livestock, or the foreigner in your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day he rested. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he set it apart as holy. And there is the principle of rest. The principle of rest. Interestingly enough, of all of the commandments, of all of these verses that provide these principles for relationship, this particular principle occupies more verses than any of the others. It occupies more words than any of the others. I'm wondering if that might just have some significance. He's wanting to make sure that we get this. He's wanting to make sure we understand it. So it's basically this. In verse 9, you can see all of your work, you have 6 days to get it done. And then in verse 10, he says, no work, all, and no work on the Sabbath. That's when you're rested. See, God has established a day of rest for his people. It's a gift. It's a gift. God has established and gifted a day of rest for his people. Here's something I kind of want to go ahead and get out of the way. There seems to be a bit of a conundrum. There seems to be a bit of a challenge here that I think we need to lay to rest before we can really get into the rest of what we want to say. Okay, so God himself created the world and everything in it in 6 days. And then the Bible says on the seventh day, God rested. Now, it can't be that an infinitely powerful God was tired and needed to rest. It can't be that God is saying, whoo, man, I've been busy creating the world for 6 days. I'm exhausted. I think I'll just kick back a while and rest. Because if that's the thinking that we have, somehow we have We've made God like us, where we get tired and have to rest. And so therefore, God himself must have been tired and needed to rest. Well, as we're going to see a little bit later in a different passage, another way that this idea is expressed is this. God rested and refreshed himself. Okay, so it couldn't have been because God needed the rest. It couldn't begin because God was somehow drained and needed to refresh and replenish himself. So, what's going on here? Here's the idea. Well, number one, we obviously understand this is set forth by example. But what's really happening here? Here's when that word refreshed is used, we're going to see it again in a different passage in a while, and it'll make sense. So just hang on. But this idea of resting and being refreshed, that God himself ceased doing one thing and entered into a rest and refreshing. The idea is this. The word refresh can also mean this, to breathe in, to catch his breath. Okay, oh, it's starting to make a little sense to me now. Because for 6 days, God was creating. How did he create? And God spoke. He was breathing out. He even breathed into, out of himself and into mankind. And now that that work is finished, he breathes in. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus said when the work of salvation on the cross was finished. He said, it is finished. Now it's time. The work that I have been sent to do, the work that God himself has been doing in creating the earth and the skies and the seas and everything in it, man and everything, that work was finished. And so he refreshed. He breathed in. He caught his breath. And in doing so, he was laying forth a principle. He was setting forth an example. Look, you've got 6 days. You have a certain time period set aside to do all of the stuff that you need to do. But I'm giving you a gift. Take some time. Catch your breath. Be refreshed. A Sabbath day. A Sabbath day. So if here's the question. If God himself was refreshed, why do we shy away from it? Well, let me speak for myself. I won't speak for you. If God himself set forth as an example, do what you're going to do, take the time that you need to take to do it, but don't neglect your rest. Why do I struggle with that? Well, I could go into all the reasons and try to justify it for myself, but I'm going to leave that question with you. And hopefully by the end of what God wants to say to us today, we'll be able to say, God, thank you for the gift of rest. Thank you for the gift of rest. A little bit of context here. Let's be reminded of something. We don't observe these Ten Commandments. We don't observe these principles in order to be saved. We're not trying to impress God on the front end by behaving in a certain way so that God will say, I like what I see there. Come on into the family. That's not what's going on at all. Remember, when were the Ten Commandments given? After deliverance. And so it's after entering into relationship with God. Through deliverance that God says, here are the parameters. Here are the principles. And so the same thing applies to us. We don't obey these Ten Commandments. We don't follow the mandates and the leading of Scripture in order to be saved. God gives them to us so that we can deepen in our relationship with him. It enhances the relationship that already exists. So we're not trying to do these things. We don't observe the Sabbath. We don't take our rest so that God will save us. No, it's so that those of us who are already in Christ, those of us who are already in relationship with God, can deepen and grow and enjoy fullness of relationship with Him. As I mentioned just a second ago, it's confession time. This one, we're not even through the list yet. We're only on number four. But this one has already caused me a bit of stress. Okay, some know, some don't know. The ministry that we have here at the church is only one thing that I do. I also have another full-time job. And I'm just going to use me. You apply it to yourself. I know me better than you, so just bear with me. I find myself Monday to Friday during regular business hours, I know what I'm going to be doing. And then in the evenings, I understand that there are also responsibilities associated with the work and the ministry here at the church. And so there's things that are going on there as well. And then Saturdays, I've got stuff at home to do. Yard work and repairs and even some church stuff on Saturdays. And then Sundays, if you think this is restful, whew. So if I'm not careful, I will find myself not only burning the candle at both ends, but right in the middle as well. Now, see, some of you are already identifying with this. You're saying, when is my rest? If I take a day off, it's all going to fall apart. And so I would challenge you the way the Holy Spirit has challenged me this week. No, no, no. This is a gift. This rest is a gift from God for His people. So here's the question. Why? Why would God establish this principle of rest? I want us to look at several different possibilities or several different reasons why. Number one, this principle of rest gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. I said the gift of rest gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 to 30. You can turn there if you want, or you can just trust me, all right? Exodus chapter 16, 22 to 30. Here's the setting. The setting is this. God's people wandering in the wilderness. They've left behind the sure, definite provision of Egypt. Forget the fact that it was under slavery conditions, but nonetheless, they didn't have to worry where their food was going to come from. They didn't have to worry about any of those kinds of things. So like being in jail. You're going to get three meals a day. You don't have to worry about that. The fact that it comes along with prison. But they had left behind the sure, definite provision of Egypt. And now they're wandering in a wilderness, seemingly without goal and without aim. And God says, I'm going to provide for you supernaturally. Trying to find food in a desert? God's brought us out here to die. No, no, no. That's not it at all. To show you that I am your provider, I'm going to provide for you supernaturally. Every morning for 6 days, when you wake up in the morning, there'll be manna. Which literally means, what is it? That's how you translate the word manna. So can you imagine they walk out on the first morning, what is that? Manna. So manna and quail, God supernaturally provided for His people. But He was careful to tell them, this is only going to happen for 6 days, because on the seventh day, there's not going to be anything on the ground. There's not going to be any manna. There's not going to be any quail. So what you'll do is on day number six, gather a double portion and keep it overnight. Now don't try that on the other days, because if you try it on those other days, whatever you try to keep overnight, the next morning when you wake up, it's going to be rotten. It's going to be filled with maggots. So don't try it. But on the sixth day, again, according to His supernatural provision, it's going to keep overnight. So you'll have provision on the seventh day, even though there's nothing on the ground. Get it? That's the context. All right. So, Exodus chapter 16, 23 to 30. Listen to this. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, 2 omers per person. And all the leaders of the congregation came and reported this to Moses. And he told them this. This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Email whoever it is you're going to email. Take care of whatever it is you need to do, whatever business you got going on, take care of it. Boil whatever it is you're going to boil, and then set aside whatever remains and keep it until the morning. And so they set it aside until the morning as Moses had commanded, and it did not smell nor contain any maggots. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today, on this Sabbath, today, you will not find anything in the field. For 6 days you can gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, it won't be there. And yet, don't you like the way that? And yet on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they didn't find anything. You're not going to find provision when you're supposed to be resting. Let that sink in. This is a God principle. You're not going to find provision when you're supposed to be resting. And yet on the seventh day, some of the people went out together, but they didn't find anything. And then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? Understand that the Lord has given you as a gift. God has given you the gift of the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he will give you bread for 2 days. And on the seventh day, everyone must stay where he is. No one may leave his place. And so the people rested on the seventh day. The gift of rest provides an opportunity for God to provide for his people supernaturally. When they kept more than God had intended for them to keep, it spoiled. When they hoarded, when they said, I better get what I can while I can, who knows? It all fell apart. What you thought you were keeping to save yourself, God turned it into corruption right in front of your eyes. See, they weren't trusting God for their provision. Weren't trusting God for their provision. There is no provision. I've struggled to even write this one down, but here it is. There is no provision from God when we violate this principle of rest. Rest is a gift from God to his people. I told you we would mention another passage of scripture. Here it is, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Remember what we said in the very beginning. Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy 5 are the two places where the Ten Commandments are presented all together in their context. Here's what Deuteronomy 5 has to say about this, all right? It's all the same things. Honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. God worked on 6 days, okay? But here's the kicker in this particular one. He said, you don't need to work on this day of rest because you were once slaves. He's providing just a little bit more insight. Listen, here's the reason behind it. When you were in slavery, you didn't get a day of rest. Slaves don't get to rest. The only people who could rest were the elite, the wealthy, the kings, royalty. And now God is saying, look, when you were in slavery, you had no rest. You were constantly fighting and struggling just to make things happen. All of the pressure was on you to produce. But you're not like that anymore. You see, I've set you free from that kind of bondage. And so as a symbol and as a reminder that you've been set free and you're no longer a slave, I'm going to give you a day of rest just like the kings enjoy. For after all, we are children of the King of Kings. We are a royal priesthood. Kings get rest. Wow. There's some perspective for you. As a child of the King, I'm no longer a slave. I can take my rest. It's a divine reminder of God's provision. See, here's the thing that I have been reminding myself of, and now I stand to remind you of as well. God can accomplish more in 6 days than you can accomplish on your own in 7. You need a reminder what God can accomplish in 6 days? Go outside and look around. Travel the world. See the ocean, the valleys and the mountains, and the animals. You want to know what God can do in 6 days? Just look around. And yet somehow, if I'll just work an extra day, I can somehow add to what God is able to accomplish in 6. God, forgive me. God, forgive me for not trusting you. Here's a practical example. Pretty much all fast food chains in this country, pretty much all fast food chains are open 7 days a week. And some of them are open 24 hours a day. All of them. Except for one. And by the way, Sunday is one of the most profitable days of the week. I saw these church folks going out to eat. So 7 days a week, some of them 24 hours a day. And when it's averaged out, the average fast food franchise, now obviously there's going to be a little bit of difference here. You get a fast food franchise in Los Angeles, and a fast food franchise out in Amherst or Appomattox, you know, the income is going to be different. But when you average it all out, the average fast food franchise will gross around $1 million per year. Open 7 days a week, some of them 24 hours a day. And then you've got Chick-fil-A. Somebody said, glory. And then you've got Chick-fil-A. How many of you know Chick-fil-A always sounds good on Sunday? Man, I wish Chick-fil-A were open today. And then you got Chick-fil-A. They're open 6 days a week. And they specifically state, don't shy away from it, they specifically state, we're not going to be open on Sundays because we want our employees to get rest and to worship. They're neglecting one of the busiest days of the week. You want to know what the average Chick-fil-A franchise grosses per year? What was the average for the rest of the guys? $1 million. You want to know what the average Chick-fil-A franchise grosses per year? $5 million. God can do more with your participation in 6 days than you can do by yourself in 7. 5 times as much, even though they're not open on Sunday. God will provide in abundance if we'll just trust Him and honor this principle of rest. There's a second reason that I think God gave us this principle of rest, and it goes this way. It identifies us. Observance of this rest and taking this gift of rest that God has given to us, it identifies us as belonging to Him, and it serves as a witness of how He cares for His people. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 17. Listen to this. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, surely you must obey my Sabbath, for this will be a sign between me and you for generations to come. so that you may know that I am the Lord who has sanctified or set you apart. You're unique. You're different. You're not like everyone else. Observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it. Uh-oh. Now get ready. I started to stop reading, but you got to hear the rest of this as well. Everyone who profanes it must surely be put to death. Hello. That seems a bit extreme. Everyone who doesn't observe this Sabbath rest must be put to death, he said. Whoever does work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh it must be a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the seventh day, in case you missed it the first time, whoever does any work on the seventh day must be put to death. The Israelites must observe the Sabbath, celebrating as a lasting covenant for generations to come. It is a sign between me and the Israelites forever. In the 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. You see, the ability to rest, the ability to rest and trust in God's provision, it is a covenantal sign between God and his people. When we're able to sit back and say, God, I've done what I can do with the strength you've given to me. I have to trust you to take care of me when my strength has run out. That is a symbol. It is a sign. The world doesn't do that. God's people are characterized by the ability to enter into rest and trusting him. It identifies us as God's people, and it gives witness to his provision for his people. And Burger King's over there scratching their head saying, how on earth are they getting $5 million a year, and they're not even open on Sunday? And the world is looking at you and scratching their head and saying, man, I work hard, and I drive myself, and I'm answering emails at home, and I'm doing all of this kind of stuff, and I'm just driven in my career, and I don't seem to be spinning my wheels. And that guy over there, he doesn't even work on Sunday. He doesn't even answer emails from home. He just seems to take it easy and rest. And he seems to be doing just fine. God, something seems to be working for him. He's entering into the rest that God has provided. Trusting God when his own strength fails. That's a third reason I want us to look at. Why? What's going on? Why would God emphasize this principle of rest so much? Well, quite plainly, there are consequences when we don't. Let's look again at that Exodus 31 passage. Here you go. Ready? Observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it must surely be put to death. Whoever works on that day must be cut off from his people. For in 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day it must be a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be surely put to death. Oh man, there's gotta be more to that. Just seems, you talk about an overreaction. That seems like an overreaction, doesn't it? Numbers 15. You want an example of how this might look? Numbers 15. While the Israelites were in the wilderness, Numbers 15, verse 32. While the Israelites were in the wilderness, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Uh-oh. He had already established you're not to work. If you do, you can be sentenced to death. And so they found this guy gathering wood. He's just gathering wood. He's probably trying to cook something. Or he's probably even maybe trying to keep warm. I don't know what was going on, but for whatever reason, he felt compelled to go and gather wood, but it was on the Sabbath. That's the problem. And so those who found the man gathering wood brought him to Moses. Can't you just leave the man alone? No. There's a principle at work here. It's a holy thing. So they brought him to Moses and Aaron and the entire congregation. And because it hasn't really been decided what should be done to him, they placed him in custody. And the Lord said to Moses, this man shall surely be put to death. The entire congregation is to stone him. For goodness sakes, he was gathering sticks. He wasn't killing people. He wasn't committing adultery. What's going on? He's just gathering sticks. You know, there were only a few things in the Old Testament. There were only a few things that God said were violations that required the death penalty. One of them was murder. Another one was adultery. A third one was a violation of the Sabbath rest. So what? There has to be something going on that immediately elevates gathering sticks to murders. There's something that's deeper than what it seems on the surface. So what might that be? What might that be? You see, there are consequences when we disregard God's parameters for relationship. And so the whole congregation took the man outside the camp and they stoned him to death as the Lord had commanded Moses. Wow, death. We're gathering sticks. Well, now I do have to interject this here now. This was written under the old covenant. Aren't you thankful for that? Because now we live under a new covenant. We live under grace. But the God that we serve hasn't changed. And so I would see it this way today. Yeah, maybe you're going to violate God's provision of rest. And it may not result in this congregation going out of the parking lot and stoning you to death. However, I would ask this question. Are we putting ourselves to death by not resting and trusting in God's provision? Are we killing ourselves when we refuse to enter into God's rest? One guy said it this way, if you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. If you don't get your rest, you're killing yourself. It may not happen with a stoning, but one by one, day by day, situation by situation, we're killing ourselves when we neglect God's provision of rest. There are consequences to not enjoying God's provision of rest. And then the final thing I want us to see. Again, the question is, why would God emphasize this like this? Well, it allows him an opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. It sets us apart and distinguishes us as people who are God's people who rely on him for our provision. And quite simply, there are consequences if we don't. But then finally, there are blessings when we rest. Mark chapter 2, 23 to 28 says this. Now we're in the New Testament. Now we're under the covenant of grace. Hear the words of Christ in these moments ahead. Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28 says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was passing through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick the heads of grain as they're walking along. And so the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? They're harvesting grain. They're working on the Sabbath. And Jesus replied, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? During the high priesthood of Abiathar, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for the priest. And he even gave some to his companions as well. And then this is the part I want us to understand. And then Jesus declared, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see, here's the deal. This Sabbath rest, this provision of rest, it's God's gift to you. It's to serve you. You're not to serve it. You see, otherwise you're just entering into another legalistic thing that places you in bondage. It's for you. It serves you. You're not under servitude to a day of the week. Well, I guess it's the Sabbath. I better obey. You're in servitude to a day of the week when Jesus himself has said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Even the Sabbath must bow to me. Oh, I think I'm starting to get the New Testament principle. I think I'm starting to get the New Testament principle that God is getting at here. This whole idea of a gift of rest. See, the idea is to give you rest, not to make you a slave to yet something else. You see, ultimately, for the child of God, our rest isn't found in a particular day of the week. Our rest is found in Christ. I think I understand it now. Because He is Lord of the Sabbath. He controls the rest. The rest is found in Him. If I could find all of the rest and all of the refreshing and all of the strength that I needed simply by taking a day off, I don't need Him. But He's driving you right back to Himself. You do need me. My gift of rest for you as a child of God is found when you completely relax and recline and trust in nothing else other than my provision for you. He is Lord of even the rest that He brings to us. So what does this mean? It means this. Your opportunities and seasons and occasions for rest might look different than mine. For some of you, maybe Saturday, which by the way, the Sabbath is Saturday. So maybe for some of you, Saturday is your day of rest and you just do nothing. Much to your wife's chagrin. You just lay on the couch and watch Indiana Jones movies. I was doing that yesterday, by the way. And you just lay around and do nothing. That's your rest. Or I know some pastors, they specifically take Mondays off. And that becomes their day of rest. But it's supposed to be the Sabbath. No, 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 you're missing the idea. It's not the day of the week. It is the gift of rest. Otherwise, we become a slave to a day of the week, and there's no rest in that. For others, it might be evenings where you just trust. For others, it might be a month or two at a time. I don't know. It's going to look different for you. The idea isn't a day of the week. The idea is that God has provided for His people rest and an opportunity to trust Him to provide for us supernaturally. It's not about me striving and striving and striving and striving and striving. It's about trusting Him that even when my energies are completely gone, I'm still safe. I'm still secure because I am in Christ and He is the Lord of the Sabbath. We rest in Him instead of striving on our own. So I would say, I would say to you what the Spirit of God has been saying to me all week. Make room for my provision of rest in your life. Receive strength and help rather than relying on your own hard work and striving. What is it Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give you rest. I will give you rest. This rest is a gift. It refreshes us. It testifies to the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. So here's the way I want to end this. I wish this morning that I could stand before you and say, I got this all figured out. And I'm consistent in it. You know, sometimes when I really do find myself striving and striving and striving and working and justify. Why is it that we justify the disregarding of a commandment of God? We somehow know that the other nine apply to us, but this one, man, if I don't do this, it isn't going to get done. Really? Let me tell you a little small step I took in this direction just yesterday. Just yesterday. I received an email from one of the schools that I work with. It was just a very simple email. All I really needed to do was just hit reply and say, received. And then hit send. It probably would have taken me a total of 10 seconds. And I was that close to doing it. But this message, this principle was echoing in my head. It's a small step, I acknowledge it. But this small step, I said, I'm not going to send that email today. I'm going to send it Monday morning. Maybe there's some of you that struggle with that as well. Maybe somehow you've convinced yourself, or maybe society has convinced you that unless you do it, it isn't going to happen. Can I tell you? I'm just going to be blunt. That's a sin. Because you're not trusting God. Do what you can do. Do what you need to do. With the strength that God gives you to do it, do it with all of your heart, do it with all of your might, dedicate and devote yourself fully to whatever it is God has placed in front of you. And when you've done all you can do, receive His rest. But if I don't work, if I don't work like I do, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. How is it that God can do more when you faithfully tithe 10% at least? How is it that God can do more with the other 90% than you could do by yourself if you keep 100%? How is it that God can accomplish more through you in 6 days or in the time of work if you'll just take the rest that He provides for you? How is it God can create a world in 6 days? And we can't even make ends meet working 7 days. Telling you, there's a principle here that God, listen, it's not something that's heavy. When was the last time a day of rest was a burden to you? Hello? Why do we see it that way? It's a burden if I have to rest. No, it's a gift that you get to rest. It's a gift that you get to just breathe in, catch your breath, do nothing but trust. He'll make sure that when that season of rest comes, He'll make sure that there's plenty in storage to get you through. And then when it's time to work, you'll work again. You'll work again with your full force and with the full strength that God gives you, and then you'll rest. And by the way, it's not only just a spiritual rest, it actually is a physical thing as well. Dr. Ben, what happens to a person if they don't get sufficient sleep and rest? You break down. Anybody struggle with insomnia? I do from time to time, I have to be honest. You go long enough without sleep and rest for your body, you'll feel like you're losing your mind. You really will. What's wrong with you? I can't even think straight. It's because you need to rest. You're not made to work like that. You need to rest. Spiritually speaking, we need to start resting and trusting. Do what you can by God's help and strength, and then trust Him. And then trust Him. Amen? Let's stand together. I'm gonna invite you to join me with here at the front if you'd like for a season of prayer. Some of you have been challenged today. Some of you have been challenged today. There's some of you that struggle like I do. There's some of you that struggle with this idea that unless I work, unless I really push myself and get it done, something's going to go lacking. Can I tell you, that's not God. He has given a gift of rest to His people. He's given us a season to just step back, catch our breath, trust in Him, and be refreshed. Maybe there's some of you here today, you're really challenged and you're being stretched by this truth. And you're already, even now, you're already thinking of ways that you can justify not observing this principle of rest. Maybe God is speaking to some of us about priorities. Maybe some of us need to learn this. That can wait. When was the last time you said, that can wait? I don't have to deal with that right now. I need rest. I need to trust God. That can wait. Maybe God's speaking to you about priorities. Maybe God is speaking to you about the ability to let some things just wait. Maybe the enemy, or maybe life circumstances, it's not always the enemy. Maybe it's just life circumstances have been robbing you of your sleep. What does the word say? He will give his beloved sleep. Maybe some of you are just tormented and tortured in your mind. You're always thinking about what's next. You can't really even sleep well because you're already thinking about tomorrow's duties and responsibilities. That's not God. He wants you to rest. He wants you to lay down, sleep, and be refreshed. So you're here today and God's speaking to you about priorities. You're here today and God is telling to you, you need to learn to say, that can wait. You're here today and the enemy's been robbing you. Life circumstances have been robbing you of the sleep that God provides for you. Can I tell you, God has a provision of rest. Anybody today just want to step out and say, yeah, Pastor, something has touched my heart today. And I see that I've been striving and striving and striving and striving, and I know I'm only spinning my wheels. I need to learn. I need God to show me. I need God to help me to lay some things aside. Do what I can do, yes, but I need to trust God. I need to be able to rest in Him. If there's anybody today, Doctor, could you come? Is there anybody here today that would just say, yeah, I God's speaking to me today. I need to just trust in Him. I need to enter into a rest that God has provided for me. Anybody today just want to, even just, you can raise a hand or you can feel free to join us here at the front. Can I tell you, there's no shame in this. There's no shame in it. I know that somebody just would say, man, I really feel like I need to press in on this. I really feel like I need someone to join me, whether it's pastor or one of our elders. I need someone to just kind of join me, and we're going to covenant together today that I'm going to trust God. I'm going to prioritize this rest that He has for me. Anybody, I know you're here. I know you're here. I see a hand back there. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that obedience. That obedience is going to open the door. Anyone else? Yeah, God's speaking to me today. I'm going to let God provide the rest, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to learn to relax. I'm going to learn to say, that can wait. Anybody? These guys right here, yes, amen. Sis, He's got a rest for you. It's not about the striving. It's about the rest and the trusting. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah, there's hands. There's hands going up everywhere. All right. Yeah, there's a hand. That's right. Hey, mine too. I'm going to come down here with you guys. I need to learn to trust Him too. All right, let's pray together. Can we do that? Come on in here, guys. Come on. Now, you raise your hand. Feel free to join with us. If you want to come, we still got room. All right? Otherwise, just pray with us, all right? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You today that You've spoken to us clearly and specifically. God, we first off confess and even repent, Lord, of thinking that somehow we had the ability to work and make it happen. when really what we need to do is do what we can by your strength and then trust you. Lord, today you're speaking to us about the provision of rest. It's a gift. Lord, thank you that it's not a burden. It's a gift. And today, Lord, we step into and receive and embrace and observe this rest that you have for us. It might mean a season away from a job, but it definitely means a ceasing of our own striving, thinking somehow that we can do in our own what really you want to do for us. And so today, Lord, we commit and we covenant that we will receive your rest. Lord, help us to recognize every opportunity to abandon that rest. Help us to recognize it when it might come in the form of what seems to be a good opportunity. It might come in the form of what seems to be a chance to get ahead. But Lord, help us to see. Fill us with discernment so that we can see the ways that the enemy would rob us of your provision of rest and refreshing. Because Lord, not only does it impact us from receiving the rest we need, it robs us of the testimony that we could give forth if we would just trust you. So Lord, put within us a heart that would trust you today, that would rely on you, that wouldn't strive, but would enter in. Lord, thank you that you are our source of rest. You are our source of refreshing. You are our strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, God. Amen. Bless you, God. Hey, look, whether you came forward or not, the principle is the same. He wants us to trust Him. And sometimes the best way we can show our trust like that. Spiritually speaking, just like this. I know what time it is, but I'm going to give a quick illustration and then we're done. Bible translators in one of the remote villages, somewhere in one of the nations of Africa, I don't know. But there was a local dialect. And Bible translators were attempting to translate the scripture into that dialect so that those people could have the word of God in their own language. And for most of the time, they were able to easily find words, if not words, at least concepts that would convey God's word. And they got to this Matthew passage, and I will give you rest. And this whole concept of rest was something that was It was hard to convey in this particular language because they were a motivated and a driven people. And so the translators are praying and they're thinking and they're, what can we say? How can we say this? And so they finally ask one of the elders in that area, they said, look, here's what we're trying to communicate. How can we do that? And the elder said this, oh, that's very easy. You just say, come unto me, all you who are working hard and striving, and I will hammer you. You know, a hammock. When you lay down in a hammock, you're trusting the strength of that hammock. Yeah, you're trusting the ropes that are holding, you're trusting the trees or the poles that are holding it up. You're completely trusting that whatever you're lying in is not going to put you on the ground. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will place you in a hammock. A place where you can just trust. Find a hammock this week. Huh? Find a hammock this week. Father, in Jesus' name, as a shepherd over this flock, I bless these, your people, today. I bless them with rest. It's your gift. It's your provision. I bless them with the recognition of things that might try to come and rob them of their rest. We bless them with opportunities for rest. We bless them with the understanding that promotion comes when we trust and not when we strive. We bless these, your people, with your gift of rest this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord today? Oh, come on. I love the Lord today. Amen. Hey, look, when you're on your way out the door, I know there's some necks you didn't hug yet, some hands you didn't shake. Let's make that happen. Amen. See you guys Wednesday night. Bless you. Bless you.